Hey, I'm Russell Leeds.
And I'm Anna Leeds.
And welcome to the Leeds to Success podcast. This week, we're going to be talking about how you avoid spoiling your children. This is one of the things that I've always been a bit worried about. As an adult that wants to see my children do well, as a parent, should I say, that wants to see my children do well, I'm always like worried about them losing the drive because of how much they've got compared to what I had. Now, I've looked at studies and I found that rich parents are much more likely to have rich children. And this is for several reasons. Number one, they tend to have a better education. Number two, they tend to have better opportunities, so like networking and better connections. Number three, they've got access to more resources. Number four, they've got more of a financial literacy. Number five, they're in a better environment. And number six, I don't think this one counts quite as much, but inheritance, they tend to get given a lot more, right? So for those reasons, you think, okay, well, it's obviously a better environment or, you know, for your children. However, me personally, I kind of worry that, like, when I was growing up, I didn't get given anything, and that kind of made me hungry and want to succeed. And I'm worried. You see, sort of, like, especially in movies and stuff, but you see, like, rich kids that are just rubbish compared to their parents. The parents have done all the hard work because they've had everything handed on a plate. They're soft, right? There's a saying that goes, trying to remember the saying now, goes something like this. Let's just put it out there and see if I'm right. So hard times create strong men, which create strong times, but strong times create weak men. Oh, I can't remember the saying. It's a good saying. Let me look it up while you give your opinion on it. It's a good saying. So what do you think of everything
my opinion
I've said?
You're saying there.
My opinion on not spoiling your kids.
Yeah, it's really difficult because I know I've had a debate with a few people who worry about, especially that live around here, about the same thing. Are our kids just going to grow up totally entitled and just think they deserve everything handed to them? Because, or not even necessarily entitled, but they have a lifestyle and they expect to just be able to carry on that lifestyle. But actually, they've got to learn that they need to, once they get to a certain age, they have to provide that lifestyle for themselves.
Yeah, exactly. I found the quote. You ready?
Okay.
This is a great quote. Hard times create strong men. Strong men create good times. Good times create weak men, and weak men create hard times. So it's kind of like a cycle, right? So, which I think is a great quote, and that's what worries me. Obviously, we've got girls, so I don't know if it's a little bit different, but I kind of think if we give them everything on a plate, and it's, oh yeah, life's really easy. Like, give an example. When I wanted to learn to drive, I had to pay for my own driving lessons. And I was like working for my dad at the time. I was getting paid £25 a day, right? And the cheapest driving instructor I could find was based in Warsaw. And we lived 3 miles away from Warsaw. And he wouldn't come any further than Warsaw.
Yeah.
So I used to have to walk to Warsaw because I couldn't afford the bus fare. Walk to Warsaw to do my driving lesson. And then walk home, 6 mile round trip to save £2, right? Because I didn't have the money. All my money was going into my driving lessons. And I kind of got a feeling, I might be wrong, but when our kids want to drive, you'll just be like, well, hey, I booked you all the driving lessons. Is it for a birthday? Or, no, it's just because I want you to learn to drive.
Yeah, but then I got my driving lessons paid for me as a kid.
Right.
And that didn't give me any less ambition or drive to become successful. It's hard to know. Well, with what?
But when you've got to do it, when you've got to do it yourself, when you've got to make your own way, like my parents gave me, did give me pocket money.
Yeah,
I got.
Now I think that is actually more useful.
Of course you do. You like the giving them everything, don't you?
No, because what you're about to say is you got pocket money. And I remember when we were both like 15 and we got allowances, but then we had to get everything ourselves, our clothes, and we had to budget. Now, I think that is really...
Had to do my own washing.
Yeah, really useful for any child brought up in any financial situation. I kind of think that that's really valuable.
Mm.
I think more than, oh, like but you didn't get your driving lessons paid,
though,
I did.
Right. Give an example though, right? I had like no money when we were growing up. And we did 3 paper rounds.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and the truth is, our kids probably won't do 3 paper rounds and get up at 5 in the morning, do one after school, and do one on a Saturday.
That drive...
For £20 a week.
But see, I think that that drive is good. That drive, you know, it's the same as... It's the same with anything, isn't it? When you don't need it, when you lose the drive, even if you look at like sports people, I was listening to an interview with Eddie Hearn talking about Chris Eubank Jr. And he was sort of saying Chris Eubank Jr. is really rare because he was born into wealth, but he still was tough.
Yeah.
He still, you know, not many people are born into that. If you look at most boxers, for example, they're all, they need it. They've fought their way up. They have to have it just to succeed.
Yeah.
There's that will.
Do you think, in another hand though, like I remember, obviously we've become super successful and it's just gone from strength to strength. But when we first were like, this is what we want to achieve in life, I remember saying what we wanted was to live on that Brown Hills estate.
Yeah.
In that 4-bed house and just...
Yeah, that was the goal back then.
That was the goal. But do you think our kids will have their eyes opened to the, like, we didn't know really the reality of the possibilities. So we've kind of moved up and up and up. Don't you think almost growing up in this, you're naturally motivated because you kind of think that if they go from living a lifestyle like we've given them, that they'll want that same level because they don't know. Another level, they assume you grow up and live this level of lifestyle. So they assume you have a well-paying job. Because that's what they know. You know what you know, don't you?
Mm.
And if they're around everyone that live this level lifestyle, like we were saying, surround yourself by the people you want to be like, haven't they got the ultimate opportunity? Because they've grown up with kids in school who do all come from wealthy families. So they've almost got the ultimate opportunity because that's all they know that they're expected almost. Do you know what I mean?
Now,
I don't know if that's 100% my actual opinion, but I'm just saying, isn't there surely an argument that you're providing the ultimate setting for them to grow up in? So yes, when they're older, they expect to have a high paying job or be an entrepreneur or... and live this kind of lifestyle because that's how they grew up and that's what they know.
Well, ultimately, yes, because, I mean, the studies have shown that they are more likely to, right? Because of the reasons that you said, like the environment and the opportunity. But so I suppose, yes, it is better than what we have. But I suppose I think because we came from not having a lot,
that's what we know.
and I maybe overestimate things like the drive, but I do think that's really important.
So I do.
What do you think then? So Samuel, my brother, and business partner, got into not a spot of bother, but got into, I suppose, created controversy, shall we say. Went sort of viral on the internet, but also got picked up by newspapers such as the Daily Mail, and they were saying, so basically what he did, I'll tell you the story, you know the story anyway, but for those of you that are watching, what he did was he caught a flight abroad, and it was him, his wife, his nanny, and his 2 children. Was it 3 children at the time?
Yeah.
3 children. Okay. 3 children. And it was a long-haul flight. And Samuel and Amanda flew in first class and the nanny and the kids flew in economy. And he did a little video on it and he was like, saying goodbye to my kids in economy while I get to first class because I've earned it. They haven't. It's my money, not theirs.
Yeah.
And it caused a real splash. However, I actually think that that kind of thing is a good lesson for your kids because I'm not saying it's necessary. I'm not saying that, it's the only way. But I think that the principle in there, I think, is a good lesson, because it's like, yeah, it's my money. It's not your money. Obviously, there's certain stuff you can't say that, like the house that you live in. You can't go, oh, well.
You can be in a tent in the garden.
You can live in the garden, yeah, because it's my house. So obviously, there's certain stuff. He's already taken them abroad. Like, I didn't go abroad when I was a kid. I think I went, I did maybe once or twice, maybe. Yeah. They're already getting the great holidays, staying in the great hotels, etc. It's like, yeah, no, business class is wasted on you. You're a little
kid. I wonder what made him draw the line at business class, though. Because, like you say, I'm assuming when they actually were on holiday, he didn't go, well, I'm going to have a luxury hotel room. You can be down the corridor in a little dorm because my money. I think
it genuinely is wasted on them for a start.
Yeah.
Because I think one of the reasons that you want to go business class is because of the comfort. And when you're very it's tight spaces, not much leg room. But when you're very little, when you're kids.
And obviously business class is very expensive. And it doesn't matter if you're an adult or child. So I think it does it. I think we pay the same.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, I think our opinion differs a little bit because we take our kids business class.
My opinion doesn't differ, to be honest. For me, I wouldn't leave them on their own. We don't take a nanny.
Obviously not.
Well, exactly.
We wouldn't leave them on our...
But if I was taking them with a nanny, I would definitely do the same.
Yeah, I suppose we don't take a nanny with us, do we? So they're where we are.
Yeah. I wonder if it's cheaper. Maybe it's cheaper to hire a nanny.
No, it probably is. Because business class is really expensive. So it probably is cheaper to take a nanny and put them in economy.
But I would have no issue putting the kids in economy. I mean, I fly economy if I'm flying in Europe.
Yeah, and I don't think... But the thing is, does that spoil your kids? Because they come business class with us when... So we went at the beginning of the year when we went to Brazil. They came business class. But then the rest of the flying this year have been much shorter flights. We fly economy. And they're not there kicking off in the aisle. Oh, I want to go business class. Are they? They're just...
Do you know what I think is more going to spoil them? Just giving them what they want. If they were like, oh, I want to go business class.
Then I suddenly wouldn't want to give it them. I'd be like, if they were kicking off in economy, going, but I want the chair that goes into a bed. I'd be like, oh, okay, that would concern me. But I feel like our kids don't think twice when they get to go business class, because they've been a few times now. And to be honest, when I was their age, I didn't even know what business class was on a plane. And they don't think twice and they lie back on their bed. But then they also don't think twice when they're in economy. They just...
Do you know what I think probably one of the big lessons is not... I think a lot of kids are spoiled, and I've seen this. I know people that I've got older kids, and I'm like, oh, rolling my eyes, where they mess up and they get bailed out every time.
Yeah, now that I think is different, and I think our kids are at a much younger age. But yeah, I agree, and the parents just pay to get them out of pickles, and because they've got the money to.
Because then you learn that there's no consequences.
Yeah. And you can pay, you just get bailed out.
And if you can pay your way out, fine. If you can afford it, but then there is a consequence, the cost to pay your way out. But if other people are just bailing you out every time, oh, you know, I've gambled my money away again. Can you lend me 100 grand? Oh, yeah, here you go. It's like, no.
Another thing, I think a little bit with the drive, because I think the drive is the big one, isn't it, that everyone worries about. Like you're saying,
handing them on a plate.
We had that drive. They're not going to have the same drive to do anything. I think that comes down to the individual kid, because how many millions of people were in our position? And it's not like, oh, you've got all these millions of people that came from nothing. They've all got this insane drive because they had nothing to be really successful. Have you? Otherwise, we'd be... Everyone would be really successful, and it would be the kids of the rich people that didn't do very well, and you'd have all these millions of people that came from the council estates that were all... So there's millions of them that haven't got drive either.
Mm.
So it can't solely then be, if you come from nothing, you have the drive to do well.
Well, there'll be different reasons to having drive. So like we're watching like the McMahon documentary on Netflix, which is really good, by the way. I'd highly recommend checking it out, Mr. McMahon on Netflix. And I think like Shane's driven to impress you can kind of tell he wants to impress. Obviously, he's fallen out with him and stuff at the end, but he wants to impress him, doesn't he? He wants to impress Vince. He cares about what Vince. So he might have a totally different drive. I think for me, I'm not even 100% sure. I think we, when I was younger, we had family members and stuff that had more money.
Yeah, we both had a rich, well, I had a rich uncle and you had a rich aunt, didn't you?
Your uncle was actually rich. My aunt wasn't rich. Or my mum's
oh, actually, an uncle.
Sister and my dad's brother both made significantly more money than we had. I wouldn't say they were rich. I'd still say they were just middle class, but they were decent jobs. Do you know what I mean? Your uncle was actually pretty rich.
Yeah.
Right, because he was an entrepreneur, set up his own computer company. But I definitely kind of felt like there was a, I think when I was growing up, like I noticed that we had less than other people.
Yeah.
And I think that it was like, I wanted to prove my own value, I suppose. I think, I don't know whether
that
was.
But does that come from something? I don't know if I would say though, that comes from like, I don't know how, the money you were on.
I always believed I was very capable. I thought I was intelligent. I thought the fact an intelligent person should be able to earn a lot of money. That's kind of what I thought.
Yeah.
And I kind of thought it proved my worth being able to be successful. So for me, success is a proof of worth, I suppose. I don't know whether I still think that now or whether or not now I'm just in the game of it all.
Yeah. What drove me was I wanted to be originally totally independent. I have never asked anyone for money, to lend me money. I was just driven that I didn't want to ask my parents for anything. We never asked whatever pickles we got ourselves into.
We had to get ourselves out ourselves.
We saved ourselves, didn't we?
Yeah.
We never called for help. And that was totally what drove me. And I don't quite know where that drive came from. Because
Was it maybe seeing other people getting, again, talking about being bailed out. Was it seeing other people getting bailed out? And
hand out.
I don't want to be like that.
Yeah. And I had the ultimate, like, I'm not going to ask anyone for anything. I'm going to make my own way.
But was that a case of, would you have been like, see, it's the thing, right? Probably not. I always think, would I have been different in a different environment?
Yeah.
Sure, would have
that,
been,
yeah.
Right. And I suppose it's trying to create that environment for your kids. I mean, at the end of the day, ultimately, we're talking about being rich and whatever, but at the end of the day, everyone in England, really, if you look, not everyone, but you know, 90% of people that live in England, probably everyone listening to this podcast probably is rich compared to the world.
Yeah.
It's like, where do you draw your comparison? So we are being, you know, we're raised in a rich country. We've got the expectations. We all think, for example, we want to be living in a house with a bathroom. Anyone that doesn't, that's like, what the hell? That's a joke.
Yeah.
You know, so we're all, I suppose we are all rich, really. So how do you not spoil your kids? I think for me, you kind of want to give them as little as you can, but give them the opportunities.
You say as little as you can.
So do you know the sort of thing that's annoying? Do you know like when someone rich and they've got their own company and then they hire their 21-year-old son as the CEO?
Yeah,
like,
when they don't deserve it.
They don't deserve it. That.
Yeah.
They don't deserve to be CEO. I think you need, if you give them stuff they don't deserve, that's where they become entitled and expectant. I think you need to give them the opportunity. Yeah, sure. But you start at the bottom.
Yeah.
And that's, talking back to the McMahon documentary, he did that, didn't he?
Yeah.
He got his kids, he wasn't just like, oh, because you're my kids, you're going to be, obviously they had the opportunity to progress, but they started off as a referee or a ring announcer or a story writer.
Yeah.
They started off and they had to work their way up. I think that's a good way of going about it.
Yeah. Oh no, I agree with that. I think if you just, because then they won't have that, like if you just brought them in as the CEO, they'd just like think, oh, amazing. Like I don't even have to work that hard because I will always be the CEO.
Yeah, and all the other staff resent them and think, oh, you know, they don't deserve it. They need to deserve, anything you give them, of course you give them the benefit of the doubt. Of course you give them the opportunities, of course, but they need to actually deserve it.
What About younger children, though, do you think it matters?
I think you don't give in to them. I think you don't give them... I wouldn't give... I mean, you're probably more generous with the kids than me. I'd be like, you know, you'd take them out, oh, I'll get them a toy. I always say no. We take them out into Sainsbury's, oh, can you get me this? No.
Oh, I don't say yes all the time.
Yeah, but I said more generous than me. I'm always like no.
But can you do too much with them? Give them too many opportunities in terms of...
I don't think you give them too many opportunities.
We travel a lot with our children, don't we? And we want to show them the world. Is that giving them too much? Like, because I've heard debates both ways of like, wow, you're almost, oh, it's amazing. Like, and then other people are a bit like, wow, you're almost giving them so much that they either might find that when they don't live with us anymore, they find it a bit, because they can't afford to go on holidays all the time and travel the world, or you've almost shown it them
that,
all.
But then that probably would give you the drive, right? Like, that's what I want to aspire to. There's nothing worse than losing something you've not had in the first place.
See, that would certainly drive me. If I'd gone on loads of holidays growing up, I would have been very driven to continue that and been like, well, I need to make my way so I can continue that process.
Yeah.
But then, so then in reality, could you get two children from the same household, brought up the same, one driven, one not? I think 100% you could, yeah.
Oh, well, definitely.
So therefore...
But I also do think that no kids are brought up exactly the same.
Okay, yeah.
Because even if you look at our kids, we don't really look the same.
No, because they were totally different personalities, aren't they?
They are. They're totally different personalities. I've made a list of some of the things that I think are good ways to not spoil your kids. So
okay.
You can see what you think, right? So number one, I think you always want to encourage hard work and them taking responsibility. So, for example, taking responsibility for their own things, even like things like tidying their room.
Yeah.
Their room is their responsibility.
Yeah.
In this, like, and as they get older, you can obviously increase that. Like I had to budget.
Yeah.
For example.
No, I think that's really good.
Number two, teach them about money, even from an early age.
Yeah.
So teach them about saving, investing, and even budgeting. So we give our kids pocket money.
Yeah.
But we tell them. Now, at this stage, we're forcing them, but we're getting into the habit that they've got to put 50% of their pocket money into investments.
Yeah.
And we've got them little stocks and shares ISO, and they invest in the S&P 500, and they see the money. But they're understanding it. I didn't know that even existed when I was a kid.
I actually think that is a huge one, because I think that the one risk you do have with growing up in a wealthy family is you don't value money, do you? It doesn't mean anything to you. Oh, you spent 10 grand on a holiday. They treat it like the same as someone who'd spend £200 on a holiday.
Haven't you noticed that when we do spend, like, you know, go somewhere like that, go to America or whatever, versus going to a little cottage in Cornwall, our kids don't really, like, one holiday might be 10 times more expensive than the other, but I don't think they even know.
Oh, no. Well, I'm about to take them to, I haven't done this in a while, a Haven caravan park next week, and they are so excited. They're like, yes. And I'm thinking, oh, great, it's going to rain. Like, we're going to be at a caravan park.
You've got to go about me because Russell doesn't like caravans.
And I'm thinking, oh, and they are like, yes, this is the best holiday ever. And to be fair, I don't feel like they do. They're happy to do
with either. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And when I remember back to when I was a kid, a lot of the things we did, I loved. You know, a lot of it's time with them, actually. It's like games, things like that.
That's a big one, because they just like going on holiday with us. Mm. And next week, they're excited because they're going with family. So to them, it doesn't matter that they're in a caravan. It doesn't matter. They're just having a good time and they love it.
It's very true. Very true. Next one, and you'll like this one. Limit material gifts. So do give gifts, but more for special occasions. But focus on experiences instead. Focus on things like holidays, days out, games with them, time with them, things like that.
Yeah, I love that one. But I think anyone that follows me on Instagram or knows me knows that that's huge for me.
Yeah.
I think I'm like the ultimate, let's find the next, and you probably can take that too far. And but I absolutely love that. And to be honest, I used to be bad at buying them toys and stuff when they were really little. But I actually don't now. because even for Christmas birthdays, when do we ever really buy them? Toys? We don't, do we?
No.
We buy them. Oh, we're going here, or we're taking you to this. Because the truth is, the experiences are good, but what they love is you being
spend
there.
Spend time with you.
Doing it with them.
I agree. Teaching them about volunteering and charity, so getting them involved in the charity stuff, showing them the charitable stuff that you're giving, so they understand the value of money and other people's perspective, and they understand that, you know, there are people that don't have what they have.
Yeah. I think that's good. I don't think we've really started doing that yet with ours, have we?
We do a bit. Like, if we're going out, we get them to give the money to homeless people, and they've even gotten given their own money to homeless people.
And that's true. I feel like, especially with Sienna, she really sees it, doesn't she? Mm. She's got a real heart for homeless people.
Yeah.
And she always goes over to them.
Yeah, and sharing the compassion charity we give to, and
yeah,
showing them
that's
letters
true.
And
I was thinking
like
in my head when you were saying almost going and working for charities, and I was thinking, well, neither
I think when
of
they
them
get older,
gone and I, worked for charities.
I think
but,
when they get older, I'd like to take them out to Uganda as well, because obviously we do a lot of stuff over there.
And to be
right
fair,
now.
That when we last went, when we got back, obviously they weren't that old, but they asked about it a lot, didn't they?
Yeah.
Why did you go over? Oh, well, like, you were out to help because people don't have water, and they were shocked, weren't they? And we always said we'd take them. But I do think that's an incredible one to do.
Yeah, I agree. Discussing money openly, so just having honest conversations about money, your successes, your failures, and just letting them be part of it so that it's not like mystery. Like,
it's funny, is that a generational thing?
I think so.
Because I definitely felt like that. Like, growing up, you wouldn't have dared ask your parents, for example, how much they are. Like, that would have been like seen as really rude. Like,
I think it is our generation.
You can't be asking how much people earn if, and I'm sure I'm not saying you just walked up to anyone and go, oi, how much do you earn? Like, but I feel like that was we don't start mentioning money. I grew up a bit like that, where almost money just wasn't
talked about
at all.
Mm.
And then actually, if it ever was in our household, you're normally ended in an argument. But, yeah.
Nurture their interests and passions. So whether it be like hobbies, like Sienna with her drama, or any of the gymnastics, or anything that they, especially as they get older, it's something that potentially could turn into a career, potentially.
Yeah.
You know, nurturing and supporting them with that.
Would you be happy or disappointed if they did something they loved, but it was a very poor paying job?
Give me an example.
Would you see that as a success or a failure? So, for example, the one I can think of, because it's what she likes, is Sienna in musical theatre. But the reality is, if you just go and work as a person on the West End, you've basically got a really full-time, quite poor paying job, but most of them love it. So would you see that as success, she's doing what she wants, or failure? Because
I think if she loved it and it was like, I absolutely love work and I just really enjoy it, I would want her to be doing stuff on the side, ideally, that was, you know, getting involved in property a little bit or something. But
it always comes back to property with you, doesn't it?
It always comes back to property. It's the best. It's the way to go, guys. It's the way to go. But I'd be happy that she enjoyed her job. I'd much rather that than she would say an accountant hated it.
Okay, so at absolute push, you think it is more important to do something you love?
I think doing something you love is really important. And if you're not bothered about making lots of money, I think that's fine as well. Depends on what's important to you. I think success is all about what you want to be successful at.
Yeah.
You know what? I think success is different for everyone, and if you're successful in what you're doing, as long as you're enjoying it and achieving something,
and to be fair,
okay.
I'm a big believer in, if you've got a job or a career and you love it, that is a huge success.
Yeah, I agree.
Because actually, not many people do what they love. So if you do, then I think that's huge, really.
I agree. And then the final one is encourage hard work and setting consequences for when they do act entitled, or, you know, don't allow that, stamp it out
Yeah.
So if you see them, you know, being entitled or having it all being spoiled, or if you notice that, then you don't give in to them. That's it. You're not having it.
Yeah. No, I think
to stamp it out. That was my top sort of tips.
Tips for making sure
you don't get spoiled. Because I don't think our kids are spoiled at all. I think they're really good.
Yeah, I do. Because I think we would stamp it out. Like if I heard them, like I say, if they were moaning when we were at economy or moaning if, look, I don't mind. I always say to ours, now I wouldn't want them just asking all day. But if we're out and they go, oh, can I have an ice cream? I don't mind them asking. But when I say no.
Yeah, they don't ask again.
No. Oh, no. Okay. Like, now I don't mean they just come, can I have this, can I have that all the time. But now and again, when they're, you know, I've got, you can ask, but when the answer's no, the answer's no.
Mm.
And they're fine with that, aren't they? And it's, if that became a problem and then they'd be moaning and kicking off.
That would be
a,
that, yeah, be
then
an issue.
I'd have an issue.
That's, we've got to stamp it out.
Yeah.
Correct.
But I feel like ours are good. They know no. Oh, okay. Like, right. They don't, I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on why they have both. Like, did we just stamp it out when they were little?
I think they know as well. When we say no, it's no.
Yeah, because like, we never go no, they kick off. Then oh, go on then.
Yeah. If you say no, that's it. It is no.
Yeah.
Come what may. See, what I do like with Sienna is she'll negotiate with me. And I know a lot of parents don't like that. She'll go, I tell you what, how about then? But she'll, you know, come up with a negotiation. Yeah. I don't mind. I actually like that because I think that's the sort of skill that you need.
Yeah.
When you're older, when someone says no, you negotiate. You don't just go, oh, it's not fair. But that pisses me off. I hate that. But she goes, okay, it makes sense. I haven't actually had an ice cream yesterday. How about if we have one tomorrow or whatever? Do you know what I mean?
She'll
come up with something. I think, yeah, fair play. I like that. That's good.
But then if you go, no, I just said, you're not having ice cream. She normally just, she like, she'll
yeah,
just
I'll
go. Yeah,
I'll just accept it. Yeah, 100%.
But no, I agree. She takes after you. She's a bright little negotiator.
Definitely a good saleswoman. Well, I hope you guys found that useful. I'd love to know what your tips are. If if you've got tips for not spoiling your kids, or if you disagree or agree with anything that we've said today, let us know in the comments. If you found it useful, don't forget to hit the like button. And amazingly, I think it's like 80% of people that watch the channel, listen to the channel, aren't subscribed. So don't forget to subscribe as well. We really help our channel, help it grow. Let us do more interesting topics that we can talk about for you guys. I've been Russell Leeds.
I'm Anna Leeds.
And we'll see you next week.